Turn to Psalm 77, if you wouldn't mind. Psalm 77. I just kind of titled this Refreshed. And I'll tell you why is because in looking at this particular psalm, and we're only going to read the first three, and then we'll reference some of the other passages in it or some of the other verses in it. But as you look at this, it helps us to realize and help us to know that there are times in our life where we just need to be refreshed spiritually. You know, sometimes we get beaten down. Sometimes we just get tired. Sometimes we get worn out. And there are times where we just need to be refreshed. And tonight's message, I'm just going to take a very, very practical approach to this and just share a few things that sometimes we tend to overlook. I'm not going to share with you something you probably don't know. Everything I share with you tonight are things you're going to go, well, I know that. But there are things that are just so practical, and sometimes we forget. And so we just need to come back to that place. In the first three verses of Psalm 77, we read this. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. That word Selah, nobody really knows exactly what it means. But by and large, it just kind of means stop and think about what I just said. It means just kind of take a pause and think about this. Let it soak in. And so when he talks about these things, he's just simply saying, listen, here's where I'm at in my life. Maybe you've been there too. Now, Asaph was a song leader in the tabernacle. He wrote godly songs, led the people in singing these songs as well as those that were written by David and others. He is mentioned about 33 times in the Bible. He was used of God in that when he wrote these psalms, they are recorded in God's word, which means these are songs that are given to us by the inspiration of God. By the way, when you see things like this, when you talk about a psalm or a song that was given by the inspiration of God, all the time we hear people say, well, I was inspired to write. And there's nothing wrong with using that terminology, but it's not inspiration like we find in the sense that God gave him the words. God gave him the message he wanted to present to us and to record in his eternal word. And so when we look at this, realize these are songs God gave us that might touch our heart and speak to us by God himself. And so it's important that we see that. And Asaph was just one individual that God used in doing this. He was obviously a godly individual. He was struggling, though, with some things in his life. Things were just not going exactly as he would like for them to have went. And it says in that psalm, just in the portion we just wrote, he was having trouble sleeping at night because of it. You've been there, I would imagine. Have you ever had things in your life that are just so burdensome? Maybe something that's just so troubling that just keeps you awake at night? Maybe it just keeps you stressed out. Maybe it overwhelms you to the point where you just can't seem to function at times. And this is where he was. And so he said these things were so troubling to him, and he was so overwhelmed by them that he couldn't even sleep. You know, I don't know about you, but I get like this. And when I do, it frustrates me because down in my heart, it kind of makes me feel like, well, Barry, you ought to be bigger than this. Y'all don't let things like this bother you. And I almost feel like this weak Christian because I didn't grow up, you know, thinking I should be weak. We grow up thinking, you know, you fall down, you get hurt, get up, wipe it off, and move on, you know. And that's my mentality. So it's hard to be in a position where you feel vulnerable. It's hard to be in a position where you look at yourself and you think, you know, I don't like to be that little weak Christian. I don't want to be that person. And it frustrates me when I'm at a place where I let things bother me to such a degree that's keeping me up at night. But this is Asaph. And the thing that kind of encourages me about this passage and about other passages in Scripture is when I see great men of God like Asaph have trouble sleeping at night, when I see great men of God like Asaph who is really struggling with some things that are going on in his life, so much so that he is just overwhelmed and he kind of gets out of sorts himself, I look at great men of God like that and I don't feel hardly so weak anymore. I think, you know what? Even the best of them can get down. You see that happen with David. You see it happen with the Apostle Paul. You see it happen so often in Scripture where you see these guys who realize they are vulnerable. And folks, we need to understand that we don't always have to be that tough guy. We don't always have to be that strong one. Sometimes we can be that individual that just gets beaten down. And what do we do with it, you know, when that happens? And we understand sometimes in our life, man, I need to be refreshed. I need something to be different. Have you ever had those times in your life where you feel like, man, God's word doesn't just jump out at me like it used to? Now I'm having trouble praying. I'm having trouble loving God's people. I'm having trouble, you know, with this or with that, or I'm just struggling. Have you ever been there? And this is where Asaph is. And so Asaph's in a situation where he's kind of overwhelmed. And you know, when you think about this, I mean, there are a lot of things that can bring this on. It might be concern for somebody you love or care for. It might be something going on in your family, your church, your nation, whatever it might be. It might be maybe just a tough decision you have to make. But there's a lot of things going on in your life that sometimes you just need to be refreshed. Because the very last thing you want to do is make important decisions. The very last thing you want to do is react when you're not where God would have you to be. You don't ever want that to happen. You need to be refreshed so that the decisions and so that the actions in our life and so our attitudes and so our character and our integrity and all those things that take place at a time when we're refreshed, not at a time when we're beaten down. So we're going to take a look at this tonight and kind of see what he has to say. By the way, let me throw this at you before we really get into this. There's no real easy solution for this. And I don't want you sitting there thinking, boy, I've been there and I'm there now. I'm anxious to hear this because he's going to fix it for me. I'm not going to fix it for you, just so you know. You're not going to walk out of here tonight and say, man, Pastor, thank you. You fixed it for me. That's probably not going to happen. All I'm going to do is give you some very practical things that you can look to so that God can refresh you and make you what you ought to be. By the way, sometimes, you know, there are those people that think they always have that answer. And we have these little pat answers. When somebody comes to us and they're struggling and our pat answers are, well, just trust God. Okay. Well, just have faith. God is in control. Okay, it's not that those things aren't true, but I got to tell you, sometimes just saying that doesn't fix it. Sometimes you want me to just trust God. I need to know how to get to that place sometimes. Sometimes I need to know how to get to that place where I can just trust him. Let me throw this at you. Have you ever had, I've had it happen when I was a child, and I've done it with other children, and I get it. You'll take them and you'll have them, I don't know, hang them on something. You'll let them hang on a ledge or let them, you know, hold on to something and say, okay, now I'm right behind you. I've got you. Just let go. Now, they can physically look at you and see that you're there. You have held them up over your head 1,001 times. You've comforted them, held them. There should be no question whatsoever that you have them. But have you ever noticed how hard it is for them to let go? Why? Because they feel like as long as I'm holding on, I'm safe. But now you want me to trust you. And what happens is it puts them completely and totally out of control. Now they're totally in your care, totally in your hands. And I got to tell you, that's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy just to let go and let somebody else have complete and total control where you are totally out of control. You've done the old thing where, you know, you stand there and you fall backwards and they're going to catch you. You've done that. I've never done it because I don't trust anybody. But you've seen it done, maybe. But here's the situation. It's like, as long as I'm standing here and holding my ground, why am I going to fall backwards just so I can trust you? I ain't doing it. But you see, spiritually, that's what God's asking us to do. He's saying, listen, can you just let go and let me hold you? Just let go and let me have a hold of things. But that's so much easier to say than it is to do. And so what happens is it causes this cloud in our faith and in our life. Asaph was there. This is the position that Asaph's in. He's struggling with some things, and he's struggling with just letting go. If you'll look there, he says, I remembered God, as if he had forgotten him. I remembered God. And then he says, and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. He remembered God, but he didn't remember God to trust him. He remembered God to have somebody to complain to about the problem. God, I have all this stuff going on in my life. And we're going to look and see what he does with it. Verses 8 and 9 says this. He says, is his mercy clean gone forever? My mom used to say, clean gone. And I've often wondered where she got that. Makes no sense to me. Clean gone. But the Bible says, is his mercy clean gone forever? Has it gone away forever? Are we ever going to see God's mercy again? This is his life. This is where he's at. Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Salah. Bob, I might ought to stop and ponder that thought for a moment. There are times in our life where we need to be refreshed, because I really think we lose sight of God's in control. We lose sight of just let go and let God take care of it. And we start looking at all the obstacles and the infirmities that overwhelm us and how we're wounded or we're hurt or whatever's going on in our life. What do we do when we're facing just a time like this in our life? You know, let me say this, it's not God's fault, but we tend to not trust him. It's not God's fault. It's not because he's somewhere in our life abandoned us, but somewhere in our life we have forgotten how to trust him. We have put aside that God's still in control, even when things aren't going the way we think they ought to go. Even when our life is in just a situation such as this. Asaph said in verses 11 and 12, he says, I will remember the works of the Lord. And then he says, I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doing. So he begins to think and he remembers all the times where God really was there for him and he saw God's hand. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes looking back over your life and looking how God took care of you here and took care of you there and fixed this and fixed that, it's pretty comforting. Well, God, you took care of me in times that, you know, at the time I thought they were just as bad as this, if not worse, but you took care of me. You picked me up and you did this and you did that. And you know, I look back over times and I think, you know, God, I don't know why I can't trust you in this, because quite frankly, that was a whole lot bigger deal than whatever it is I might be dealing with today. And if we're not careful, we forget. And so we have to look back and we have to examine those things. This is where Asaph is. Now, all of that is just to bring us to this place. I want to give you some just practical, biblical ideas on how to be refreshed. Because it's easy for me to say, just put your trust in God's hands. It's easy for me to say, just be refreshed. Just get right spiritually. That's all so simple. But it leaves you hanging, leaves you saying, what's the next step? Let me give you the practical next steps. And they are very practical, and nothing that, like I said, nothing that you're just going to overwhelm you. But the first one is this, and it's God appointed, by the way, rest. Rest. How? I mean, what are you saying? I'm saying get some rest. God instituted that, by the way. If you look all the way back in Exodus 23:12, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. Do you think God didn't know what he was doing? You think God messed up when he said, listen, you really need a day to rest because your physical body can only handle so much? Now, I want you to think about this. Imagine when he said that. When he said that, you want to look at a situation where man was just formed. You couldn't ask for a more perfect man than Adam. I mean, imagine his stature. Imagine his build. Imagine his health. Imagine all of these things. I mean, the man lived 900 plus years. And so we're talking about somebody who was a picture of health and was strong and stable and probably could have done a whole lot more than any one of us here could do in a day's work. And yet he told him, rest. Need to rest. He told him that in his own actions. We find even those when he gives us this command, when they were given this command in Exodus, we're still talking about a people, even though this is after the flood, and even though, you know, many things were going on, these are still people that were in excellent health and worked for a living, and their daily jobs were pretty intense. And he still told them, you need to rest. You need to take a day and rest. And he gave them that day and said, rest on this day. Now, I know that sounds like it's such a simple thing to say, and it just seems like a lot of folks get the idea that that's not really all that important. And I have to tell you that this doesn't mean that you need to just sleep the time away. He tells you as much as take that day to rest, he tells you take the other six to work. All right. So what we find out in this is he says, basically, listen, you can't just work yourself to death because physically and emotionally it'll wear on you and you can't make the kind of decisions you need to make and you won't be refreshed the way God wants you to be refreshed. And if you are not refreshed physically and emotionally, chances are you won't be refreshed spiritually either. And so it's important to understand, listen, I've got to take time to just relax, take time to just settle in, take some time to just get some rest. Scripture. Now, I realize, you know, you can look back and say, well, I don't know, though. You know, you're trying, that's part of the law. That's what the law said to do. Well, I got news for you. The law is a school teacher, and it tells us the mind of God. Granted, I'm not under the law. Granted, the law doesn't dictate my life, but I tell you what it does do. It helps me to see something about God's plan, and it helps me to see something about the way God thinks, and it helps me to see some very practical things that need to take place in my life. So when I look at this, I can understand, listen, it is important that each and every one of us take that time to rest. You know, even in the ministry, there's a lot of stress that's related to church, family, you know, sickness and finances. Those things exist in our lives like they do anybody else's life. Why would we not need some time to rest, to take away from that? You need to spend some time away from those things. It doesn't matter how difficult times are. You have to take that time to let your body rest. You know, I have pastor friends that take far less time off or far more time off than what I take off. And in so doing, I clearly see why. And they're always encouraging me, Barry, you ought to take more time off. You really ought. You have no idea. And you know what? It's like that with a lot of folks. Because we can get so overstressed and we can get so burdened with life and we can get so burdened down with everybody else's burdens and we can get so burdened down with illnesses and we can get burdened down with finances, you can get burdened down with jobs. You know, most people, they have jobs, but it's not like the thing you really honestly love so much you want to do it the rest of your life. You're stuck in it because you got to make an income, right? And so he's saying, listen, there has to be this time where you get away from the stress, you get away from the burden, you get away from that everything and just forget about anything else that exists. Is it no wonder, Steve was talking out there just a little moment ago, and I was thinking about how it related to this, but you know, every one of us have like these little things, these little escapes that we do. Yours might be sports, you know. It might be that opportunity to kind of just not think about what's going on in the world, just an opportunity to just focus on something, you know, just for nothing more than just mere pleasure. For me, it's music. There are times where I can go grab my guitar, I can get my mandolin I've been trying to play. And that's pretty stressful right now because I'm struggling with it. But you know what I'm saying. They tell you that golfing is something you do to relieve stress. I'm here to tell you, unless you're a really good golfer, it doesn't relieve any stress. All right? It just costs you more money to buy new clubs that you've thrown away or broken or done whatever. But my point being is we need that time just to not have to focus on anything, to just not have to think about anything. You know, I'll be honest, there's some things in my life that I've done that I just make a part. It's part of my plan. If you call me and I'm out with my wife, I probably won't answer. Why? Because we need that time. I pastor and I love you. It's not that I don't love you, but I'm going to tell you now. You call me and I'm out with my wife, I'm not going to answer you. Because it's important for her and I to spend that time together. There are times where if I take off and I'm out and I'm about and doing things and you call me, I'm not going to answer. Why? Because I need that time off too. And you know what? You're the same way. There are times, you know, where you just have to have that time out because it'll wear on you. And you're not going to be any good at anything you do if you don't. Take the time to rest. But I can't do that. I need this. I need to take the time to rest. Second thing, as Asaph writes all these songs in the book of Psalms and what have you, I think we need godly music in our life. I think the Bible tells us that. I think it's pretty clear. He tells you to sing spiritual songs in your, you know, to think about those things and to sing those in your heart and let them be a part of your life. Saul was soothed by David's playing the harp, 1 Samuel 16:23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp, played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You know, what was it? It was good, godly music. And as David played that harp, it says that Saul was refreshed and the evil spirit departed from him. We're told to sing in our hearts, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Pretty refreshing. We're told that songs are a form of teaching, whether it be teaching us or teaching others, so that we might refresh the spirit. Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Listen, teaching and admonishing one another. How? And psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Songs ought to be teaching songs. You know, someone asked me, you know, because I don't think it's kind of common. There are songs that I really don't enjoy, and there are songs that frustrate me. I don't like a lot of the praise songs. I certainly don't like a lot of the contemporary stuff just because of different reasons. But I want a song to teach me something. It tells you, teaching and admonishing me. Songs ought to teach me how to rely on God, how to be refreshed, how to be comforted. Teach me something about His Word. I love some of the hymns in our book because they were teaching hymns. They're things where I can learn Bible. You hear me very often when I'm preaching use a song right out of our hymnal to make a point. Why? Because it's a good teaching opportunity in that song. Godly songs teach us something. And it's important that we understand that that needs to be a very real part of our life. You know, when we think about this, that means you need to be particular about the music that you choose. You need to listen to songs that are refreshing to our spirit, good godly music that lifts up Jesus Christ and isn't just something that makes me feel good, but lifts up Jesus Christ, maybe even teaches me something. But, you know, songs about lovers and hatred and adultery and drinking and carousing and bar hopping and virtually everything else that's anti-Christian, I got to tell you, that'll do nothing to refresh your spirit. Amen. We want things that are biblical. I want to hear songs that are biblical. Now, that's not to say I can't listen to a secular song telling me I need to love my wife. Nothing wrong with that. Biblical. Secular song that tells me I need to be the kind of person I ought to be. Biblical. But what I'm saying is you want to listen to the things that will lift you up in your spirit and be what God would have you to be and be refreshed. If it's not refreshing, it's not good. Every aspect of the music makes a difference. The words, the beat, the rhythm, the melody, you name it. Well, beat and rhythm, I guess, same thing. But my point being, you need to realize that every part of that plays a part in you being refreshed. So good godly music is important in our life. God has given it to us. A third thing is God's people. Proverbs 25:13, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. You know, the church ought to be a place to be encouraged by God's people. Paul says, comfort one another with these words. Romans 15:32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, may be with you, and may with you be refreshed. The key is comforting one another. Problems, complainers, gossipers, talebearers. Is that refreshing? Not very refreshing. 1 Corinthians 16:17, 18. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. 2 Corinthians 7:13. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. You know, coming together should refresh us. In fact, I am refreshed and encouraged by people who continually serve in difficult times. Very often I know what's going on in your life, and And sometimes, you know, we've prayed about it and we've talked about it and I've counseled with you even. And it's refreshing, though, to see that even when those times are going on in your life, to see your faithfulness, your dedication, and your desire to comfort me. And I appreciate that. We're comforted by good, godly people. You know what? I'm encouraged by people who sing the songs instead of just standing, who listen to the message and actually pay attention, who pray for me and hope and pray that people are going to respond to the invitation, who make an effort to go out and invite other people in. I'm refreshed by those kind of people. You know what? I'm even refreshed by those who are challenging and contrary to my character and contrary to my own person. You know, because the old iron sharpens iron. I offend people sometimes. But you offend me sometimes too. But I'm still refreshed by you. Because you know what? It's important to know that you believe what you believe and you stand where you stand and you do what you do. And I have to tell you, that refreshes me. Sometimes the most difficult people to get along with are the people that are greatest refreshing to me. It's those that are unfaithful that I struggle with. It's those that want to do nothing or those that are constantly attacking. But I'm refreshed, especially in times when I can be a solution. I got to tell you, some of the greatest times I've had is times where there have been struggles and I've been able to get in the heart of the struggle and be able to find a solution, bring people together that were struggling. I got to tell you, there's nothing more refreshing than to walk away and knowing that you helped the matter, knowing that you were a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. I'm refreshed by forgiving people. I'm refreshed by people who do not believe that church is some kind of a sin-free zone. It's going to happen. I'm refreshed by people that love me in spite of my faults. I know my faults. I know me better than you know me. And I'm refreshed when people love me anyway. And I got to tell you, it's incredible to be refreshed by people who just love the Lord, who want to do what he wants us to do. And you know what? All too often, it's the faithful that struggle with the faithful. It's kind of ironic. But look in Scripture, is it not that way? Look at the battles that Paul had. Did he not battle with Peter? Did he not battle with Barnabas? Did he not battle with John Mark? And all of those were faithful individuals. Always seems to work that way, but we forget sometimes. Iron does sharpen iron. And we can come back to that place where we realize, you know what? We can be refreshed by people who are faithful. We might not always see eye to eye. We might butt heads. But I'm refreshed when I see people who are committed and dedicated to doing what God has called them to do. The last thing I want to share, only because of time's sake, really, is I think we can be refreshed by the teaching of God's word. If we leave God's word out of the picture, there'll be no refreshing. Isaiah 28, 9 through 12. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. There's refreshment in God's word. Now, there are people that don't want to hear God's word. There are people that will turn off God's word. There are people that will hear only what they want to hear out of God's word. They want to be inspired by God's word. They want to be loved by God's word, but they don't want to be commanded by God's word. They don't want obligations by God's word. But all of those things ought to be a refreshing. The more obligations God gives us and the more God calls us to do his work ought to be a refreshment because God trusts me and loves me and wants me to do these things. And I got to tell you, it may be more difficult and maybe a lot of struggles that comes along with it, but it ought to be refreshing to know that he loves you that much. To me, I think I don't always want to hear what God has to say in these things. But I think sometimes it's because I need to be refreshed. I need to get back to that place where I'm ready to listen. Because if I'm tired, I'm not going to listen. If I want nothing to do with you or anyone else, I'm not going to listen. If I'm not rejoicing in God's music, God's songs, I'm not going to listen. If I'm not going to listen to God's word and abide by his commands, I'm not going to be refreshed. Folks, we need a time of refreshing so that we can say, God, I really can trust you. I need to get to a place where I can look to you and get back to that time of refreshing. You remember when you trusted Christ as your Savior, how excited you were? Maybe another time in your life where you really saw God's presence. I mean, you saw God's hand in something. Maybe somebody you love and care for accepted Christ. Maybe God just opened up a door for you that it couldn't have been opened any other way. And you were so excited about those things. It's like, God, I want that back. We can get that back. But we have to come back to that place where we're willing to say, God, I need to follow these little practical guidelines so I can get back to a place where I can be refreshed. So I can serve you the way I ought to serve you, and I'm not just going through the routine. You want me to tell you a miserable Christian? It's a Christian that goes to church out of obligation. It's a Christian that just does the things of God out of obligation. Never cracks the Bible. The only prayers are God give me. That's a miserable Christian. And it doesn't matter how faithful you are. If it's not done out of desire. If in your life, you're looking at your life and you're going, you know what? I'm on a Sunday night, so I'm obviously faithful. But why? It might be that you need a refreshing. Might be that we need to be refreshed. You know what? Church that's refreshed, you want me to tell you what you're going to see? And you're going to see vibrant music. You're going to see everybody excited and singing and wanting to be involved in it. Man, they just can't help but to sing. Even if they're off key, they can't help but to sing. You're going to see a church where when you're out and about, you look for opportunities to say, man, you have got to come to my church. You're going to love our church. You're going to love our pastor. You're going to love our music. You're going to love our people. You really need to visit our church. You're going to see in your life that you look for opportunities to say, hey, listen, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you're refreshed. And I'm going to tell you, if those things aren't a part of your life right now, you need to be refreshed because something is missing. Dear Father, we love you. We thank you. I pray, Lord, that we'll leave here tonight refreshed. So easy to get caught up in the world. It's so easy to get caught up in struggles. It's so easy to get caught up in ourselves. It's so easy to get caught up in pettiness. It's so easy, Lord, to not even look at the dangers and the decisions and the things that we do. Father, may we look to you, not just in word, not just in empty sayings, but Father, in an attitude and in a character that demonstrates how much we really do love you. Help us to be refreshed. Lord, if I'm not refreshed, it's not because of anybody here. If I'm not refreshed, it's not because of you. If I'm not refreshed, it's not because of the circumstances in my life. If I'm not refreshed, it's not because of the people that live in my community or in my nation. It's not my political leaders. It is not anyone else. Father, it's not even Satan. It's just me. And Lord God, I need to look to you and Lord, find that refreshment in you. Help me to set aside whatever I need to set aside, and help me to draw close those things I need to draw close, that I might be refreshed. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.